just saw it. First time I've saw this name pop up in a while, which is weird. I figured it would. Tony Dungy. Our guy, our friend of ours, Terry Fry, he wrote about the possibility of Tony Dungy. He's 67. Again, that could be... The idea with an older coach, to me, would be, all right, you're coming here for a couple years, and it's a kind of like what I thought was going to be the Bill Belichick thing in New England, was Bill Belichick, whenever he's done, it's Josh McDaniels' job. I always thought that was how it was going to go. I always thought that was why McDaniels hung on for as long as he did. So I guess that's what I would look at if you're going to go with a Tony Dungy type or even a Rosberg type, which, Angel, there are a lot of Broncos fans out there today saying, hey, I kind of like the idea of Rosberg. I'll admit, after yesterday's game, I felt a little bit better about it, but if you're asking me if I'd sign off on it, no, I wouldn't.
It feels like puppy love.
Yeah, and it's 2 games. It's 2 weeks.
It's very honeymoonish.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, well, I like how he's no nonsense and all that stuff.
You've been seeing each other for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, man.
Settle down.
And the whole no nonsense thing. Okay, if I fired Hackett because he's all nice and I'm not okay, you're not okay, we're all good, not being okay, give me a hug. Then if I'm the interim coach and I'm replacing you, then I'm going to do the exact opposite. Everything that you just did, whether that's me or not, I'm going to come out with a little bit more of a harder mentality. A little tough guy act for a little bit. I'm just not. Listen, it's 2 weeks. It's not enough. It's not enough for me. If he wants to stick around, great. If he wants to do next year and then your idea is that Evero's going to be... I don't know. I'm in the mood to get weird, I guess, sometimes. But Eastside Chris chiming in on the First Advantage text line. That was a good question about Rosberg. Was it? Like Rosberg being the GM? Does he know about building up a team, depth chart drafting, and all that stuff? He's been around the league for a long time. Maybe it was a good question. He said, who will Penner lean on for input on the coaching hire? Well, Penner says he's leaning on George Payton and the rest of his crew. Payton doesn't have a good history of hiring so far. He's 0-1. I wonder if Elway or maybe Peyton Manning. What? As far as leaning on? Elway? For head coach hire?
I don't think Elway has any say in this.
I don't think so either. And Peyton Manning's not involved with the Broncos.
You all love John Elway and Peyton Manning. They are not the saviors of the Broncos. They are heroes, yes. Legends, yes.
Yes.
And but Elway, they are not the end-all, be-all. They are going to save this franchise.
Elway had his moments even as the president. He did. But after the Super Bowl, all hell broke loose because you didn't have a plan B. And his record's worse than George Payton's 0-1. If you want to say John Elway as far as victories as a head coach, okay, did he win with John Fox? Sure. We'll give him that. Did he win with Gary Kubiak? Sure. 1 out of 2 years. They went 9-7 the next year and missed the playoffs.
And how many quarterbacks did they have?
And a lot of quarterbacks. But then it was Vance Joseph and Vic Fangio. So you went 2-2, I guess, with coaches. And Peyton Manning's just not involved. I got to see Manning. Like, everybody wants Manning to be involved. Okay, go be a part of an ownership group for a few years. Go be a quarterback's coach for a few years. I need to see that kind of stuff before I'm ready to go Steve Kerr on this situation.
Well, we're so ready to put Peyton into this, some kind of leadership or organizational role. And I think he loves Denver. I think he loves the Broncos.
I do, yeah.
And I don't know if he still lives here or not, but this place has a special place in his heart.
It does.
No doubt about that.
Yes.
But there's a difference between loving a place, loving a team, and saying, I want to go work there every single day to help them get better.
Yeah, it can't be just a consultant.
Like when he's got 50 other things going on.
We keep throwing around this consultant thing, you know? Like, oh, he's brought on as a consultant.
What's he going to do, walk in the room? Hey, I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey.
Throw the ball that way, Rush.
I like Tony Dungy. Hire Tony Dungy. He said, Chris, okay, fine. Who will be in that interview room? Well, Damani Leach will be in that interview room. George Payton will be in that interview room. Greg Penner, obviously, is conducting the interview. Is Condoleezza Rice? I mean, the ownership group's probably all in the interview room.
Russell's probably in the room next
to
it.
Oh, Russell's probably. Nah, not this year. Last year, yes. This year, he has to carve a little hole in the door, and he's peeking through.
I was going to say, he's got a little glass on the wall just trying to listen.
Yeah. They won't let me in, but I think I'm making stuff out here.
I think he said Sean. He might have said John. I don't know.
Yeah, last year, okay, you could sit in. This year, no, just wait outside, please. Okay, fine. You can lean your head against the door.
Russ is on the practice field throwing footballs at the window trying to get attention.
No, he's doing the office thing. When Michael Scott gets inside the cheese thing, the cheese dish, and he sneaks in so he can hear what the interview is going on. And that's what he's going to do. He's going to convince like a waiter, hey, let me get in on the food tray and get under there. And then just wheel me in. Yeah, the caterer. And wheel me in there and just leave me underneath there. I'll listen. I'll be a part of it, but they won't know it, but it'll be just as important.
I'll give you a hat. Here.
Here's three. Ken Bone, wonder if Ed McCaffrey has made their radar.
Ugh, I like cringed when you said that name.
What a time, man. Ken Bone, I mean, this whole McCaffrey, you got me on this. Sometimes the Hooligans just throw me all over the place here. That's going to turn out to be like just a time that was a little short, strange blip on the radar. Just a really weird thing.
Not fondly, but just we will remember.
Nothing real positive about it, you know? And just ultimately all the extra stuff that went on outside of the actual program. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what the future holds for Ed McCaffrey. Does he go back to high school? Does he try to get on to a team somewhere as a position coach? I mean, I'd be calling in Kyle Shanahan, Christian McCaffrey, and John Lynch. Can I go be a position coach of some kind over there? I thought maybe that's what he might do. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. All right, you got your pick here. So we're seeing D'Amico Ryans, Sean Payton, Jim Harbaugh, Rosberg, Dan Quinn, Jiro Evero. Am I missing anybody yet? There's the Eagles offensive coordinator who's going to be in the mix. So that's 6-7 right there. Who sticks out to you? Let's take away the Saints ownership situation. Let's take away Michigan and all of that. They're open to you. Who do you like to be the next head coach of the Denver Broncos that can get Russ right and hopefully keep the defensive momentum going and fix the offensive line?
I am leaning towards Dan Quinn, but the D'Amico Ryans one is interesting.
Yeah, you have a first-timer in there again. Is that?
He's from San Francisco.
Yeah, D.C. for San Fran.
I think if you spend enough time under Shanahan, I think that gives you a little bit of credibility. Mm. Like we saw with Mike McDaniel, who was with Shanahan for a lot longer than Ryan's is. But
do you worry about the whole, hey, we're going to try this again for now the fourth time in a row of first-time head coaches?
I mean, you got to do something different. So, I mean, if you want to, unless he blows you away in the interview process – and Peyton is not a thing, and Harbaugh's not a thing, I think you go younger, inexperienced over Dan Quinn that may not work out.
Oh, this is intriguing, isn't it? Best drama, like I said to start the show today. NFL, best drama on TV. And now for the Broncos, it sucked. It was a terrible season, but here we are.
You can't write TV like this, or maybe you can.
Oh! That kick return for the Bills was written into the script.
Might have been 10 men on the field for that play. I don't know.
We should start doing this because this is starting to gain traction now. People are starting to come out saying that there are random people on Twitter, I guess, saying that they think the NFL's fixed.
You think the Bills are going to win the Super Bowl?
Well, here it is. This is what we should do every year before the playoffs, Angel, is if the NFL is fixed and you think it's going to go the way Hollywood would want it to go, then here's how the prediction here's how it goes. The Bills win it all. The Bills win this whole thing. Or Tom Brady. What's the story, the most comeback appealing story for the NFL?
Mr. Irrelevant takes down the GOAT in the NFC Championship.
That's a story. So that's the thing. If you really want to go conspiracy theory here, you have to go, all right, best story in the playoffs. Brock Purdy is a pretty good story with the San Francisco 49ers. Tom Brady kind of getting some, I don't know, just vengeance on everybody that counted him out and had been giving him so much crap after the split with his wife and everything. That's a story. The Bills, obviously, with DeMar Hamlin. The Seahawks have a story. They move on from Russell Wilson on the doorstep of the Hall of Fame, and it was rumored that he was done with them and da-da-da-da-da. And here's Geno and Seattle and Pete Carroll found a way to do it. There's a story. The Giants, mm-mm. If you're a conspiracy theorist, there's no Dable. I mean,
successful first year head coach.
Yeah, not sexy enough.
Daniel Jones reviving his career.
Nope. Okay. Not better than the Seahawks story.
Saquon Barkley coming back.
Nope. So right, if you're a conspiracy theorist, write the Giants out. Cross that out. Vikings. First time head coach. Kirk Cousins.
They completely flipped their one possession game record.
They had the greatest comeback of all time.
Yeah, Justin Jefferson at wide receiver. They're a fun team to watch. They got a lot of names on this.
Not dramatic enough.
Right.
Still not more dramatic than San Francisco or Seattle.
I think that's partially because of a stigma against the Vikings.
Yes.
They're just not flashy enough.
They're just not. It's not must-see television. This isn't season 5 of Game of Thrones. They're more like, season 10 of Everybody Loves Raymond. It's entertaining. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to enjoy it. But once a commercial break hits, I'm changing the channel. Find something else. See if Scrubs is on. Cowboys. Interesting story. They're always interesting.
Are they going to choke?
Is Dak Prescott really the guy?
Is Zeke Elliott on his way out?
Is McCarthy the guy? That's not a good enough. Again, if you're a conspiracy theorist, Dallas Cowboys are not winning the Super Bowl. Although that's always a fun one to put in. That's always must-see television, Dallas.
I cannot imagine the Cowboys winning a Super Bowl.
No, but that's always must-see television. Tampa Bay, we talked about that. There's a story there. The Miami Dolphins. Tua coming back, maybe there's a story. If not, there's no story. Mike McDaniel's kind of interesting. But without Tua, Tud Flanders. What's your quarterback's name? I don't know what his name is.
Tagovailoa.
No, your new guy.
Oh.
Your fourth.
Skyler?
Your eighth string guy.
You mean the first Miami backup to win a game?
Yes, that guy.
Skyler Thompson, yes.
Yeah. So it doesn't do anything for me. And if they win, it's going to be like, wow, how the hell did they beat the Bills? There's no way it's happening if you're a conspiracy theorist. Zero chance. Bills, DeMar Hamlin, baby. Even outside of that, though, Josh Allen.
Playoffs,
team of destiny, the old team that went to 4 Super Bowls in a row in the 90s and lost every one of them. There's a story there. The Buffalo Bills are always a story, even without the DeMar Hamlin stuff. Baltimore Ravens, Cincinnati Bengals. Burrow is a story. That's a fun story to follow along. The whole cigar thing that he started up at LSU. Baltimore, if Lamar comes back, there's your story. Not sexy enough, though. Even the Lamar thing. Chargers, Jaguars. Jaguars. Jaguars?
Just adding syllables.
Jaguars.
It's 2 syllables.
Jaguars.
Jaguars. You and Tanner have been saying it wrong for months now.
Nothing sexy about that.
No? Not even Sunshine and Dougie P?
Not this year. Dougie P is, that's good. Not over the Bills. Not over anything that I mentioned in the NFC. So if you're a conspiracy theorist, the Bills are beating the Dolphins. The Bengals will beat the Ravens, even with Lamar Jackson. The Chargers will beat the Jaguars. Seattle's not beating San Francisco.
No.
That's the story, though. That's not. And also, if you're, again, conspiracy theorist. Sometimes the conspiracy is too tough to get over. I can't sell that to this crowd. So I'm not going to. It's like that character. He's too lovable. I can't turn him into a bad guy or kill him off. So Seattle, sorry. San Francisco is too good. It's too unbelievable. So San Francisco outweighs conspiracy theorist. Giants, Vikings. What's the better story? Vikings. Tampa Bay beats Dallas on Monday. And then the Bills beat the Dolphins. There we go. I mean, that's just how this is going to go. And then if you want to keep going deeper into the next round, you know, the Chiefs are going to win because they're, again, a fun team to watch. Conspiracy storylines, whatever, be damned. It's a fun team to watch.
So in that scenario, it would be Bills, Bengals, Chiefs, Chargers.
Yeah. Yes.
Plenty of stories there.
Plenty of stories there. And then the NFC, you get richer, too, because if San Francisco, wins Minnesota and then Tampa Bay, who would be playing the Phillies? Who would be playing the Eagles then? That'd be the Vikings?
That'd be Tampa.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, so Philly, Tampa,
Minnesota, San Francisco. Ooh. Is it weird the NFC has like more intrigue?
Oh, way more intrigue.
Because like the last couple of years, it's been like, ugh, who cares about the NFC?
Yeah, this weekend anyway, there's more intrigue there. But that, again, that's the conspiracy theory. Sounds like Hard Knocks will be here next year. Also, they could venture over to the CU facilities for some coverage.
Hard Knocks with the Broncos?
I don't know. Did you hear that somewhere?
You're just asking for more Russell
memes.
You're asking for more Russell Wilson crap.
If they want to come to Denver and do Hard Knocks, no way. You couldn't pay us enough after what we saw with Russ and everything that was Russ. With the high knees and the dangerous and all the weird things that happened. You couldn't do it. Let's ride. No way. Mm-mm. Stay away from that. Although it would be a twofer. They could be like, hey, we're going to do a college special on CU as well. That's fun. No, I mean, realistically, if you just want to make our picks here, San Francisco's beating Seattle. Easy. Giants, Vikings, who you got?
I like the Vikings.
I've been that guy that's like wanting to root for the Giants. I'm just going to go after it.
I mean, I like
Daniel
the Giants.
Jones gets it done.
I like Brian Daboll. I like Barkley. I think Minnesota's just more talented.
Give me the Giants in that game. Cowboys, Bucks, that's tough for me.
I can't go against Brady.
The Cowboys should be the better team. They just don't know how to close it all out. Tampa Bay annihilated them to start the season. I can't go against Brady either. I'm going to go with you on that.
Not in the playoffs.
All right. Tampa Bay gets the dub. Dolphins, Bills, are you just going to throw it out there and say, yeah, why not?
I'm a fan.
Yeah.
They're in it. Come on.
So you got the Dolphins?
What kind of fan would I be if I said, nah?
You could be a logical fan.
Sure. Sports fan and logic don't always mix.
No, probably not. So you're going with the Dolphins to upset the world and upset the biggest storyline in the playoffs.
Oh, don't make us feel guilty about it. Oh, you beat the Bills. How dare you?
How dare you, man?
That would be the narrative, though.
Yeah?
Because they're the Dolphins, it would be that. Yeah, look at the Dolphins. They think they're better than everyone. They don't like safety. Oh, it would be the perfect story to say the Dolphins don't care about player safety.
There you go.
It'd be the perfect story.
Because they do all the Tua stuff. But you're going to go with Miami.
I will pick Miami. Logically, it'll probably be the Bills.
Yeah, it'll be the Bills. Ravens, let's say with Lamar. No.
No.
Without Lamar.
Even with Lamar, there's nothing else on that team.
I would want Baltimore to win if we see Lamar in. I don't care if they don't. The Bengals just seem like they could knock off the Bills or the Chiefs.
They're the better team.
The Bengals are right there. And here they are again, man. Let's see. Chargers, Jags. That's kind of a...
Give me the Jags.
Yeah, give me the Jags. I'm going to go there, too. Give me the Jags. All right. So we only differ on two things. The Dolphins-Bills game and the Giants-Vikings game. That's it?
Yep.
All right, there we go. 24 minutes after the hour. Short break coming up. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the whole show powered by PDC Energy. This is Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Oh, what a wild Monday, man. We got the national championship coming up tonight, the Nuggets taking on the Lakers, and now the Broncos trying to figure out who their next head coach is going to be. And you had amazing news, though, that you saw about DeMar Hamlin as well.
Yes. As of just about 15 minutes ago, DeMar Hamlin has been discharged from the hospital in Cincinnati and has returned to Buffalo, where he has been transferred to another hospital.
There we go. That is really good news, man.
1 week.
1 week ago. Rocked the NFL, and now he's on the mend, man.
Other reports say he's back on his regular diet and he's moving around a lot more, just trying to get back to his self, really.
I don't know if this is inappropriate to ask, but I'm going to ask it. Does he play again?
Probably.
Does he want to play again?
It's unlikely. The Bills placed him on IR on Friday, meaning so he'll be out for at least 3-4 games, I think. Mm. So potential playoff run out of the window.
Yeah,
I would imagine he's going to take a lot of time to think about it.
Yeah, because, I mean, could he play? Like, is he's that's the thing. Like, he's moving around and stuff. Will he be able to run and jump and do all the physical things and work out and exercise? Or is there going to be some kind of a restriction on that where it's like you got to be careful with what you do now? There's long-lasting
ramifications. It's hard to speculate. You don't want to diagnose something you don't know anything about. But, you know, best decision for him. I'm sure he's going to get the best information and advice from medical professionals and advise him. You know, similar cases. This injury does happen in sports, so consult that, figure out what's next best for him. But, you know, I don't think the Bills need him on the field. They'll need him in their hearts, of course, but, you know.
Yeah.
Just take your time and get healthy.
What a story, though. What a story. Certainly a real positive turn that, you know, I liked what the Broncos Chargers did before the game yesterday.
That was cool.
Yeah, where they came out and, you know, Russell Wilson came to the middle of, you know, the threes, if you wear number three. I mean, that was a cool deal. It really was. And I was excited to see that, you know, and then the red outline on the three on the new field and everything. Thought that was really cool. So, yeah, man. I mean, there were some neat, real positive things that came out of this. And I think you just got to be at least happy about that side of it. Such a terrifying thing that happened on Monday, last Monday night, and we're all thinking, man, this is so bad, and it's obviously it is. It's scary. You don't ever want to see that again. But then to see people come out and support and be there for each other and just a lot of positives, and then Derwin James and Russell Wilson come out to the middle of the field and shake hands, and then they pray together, making sure that those number threes are kind of in the focal point, sticking up to the crowd and everything, and then the teams lined up on the side. I mean, that's something else, man. I saw one of DeMar Hamlin. I don't have it in front of me, but I saw one of his quotes. One of his Instagram posts was something like, hey, if you put love out into the world, it's going to return to you. And that just goes to show you, like, he's a good dude. You know, we learned a lot about this guy. So what a good story this turned out to be. And it does kind of seem like every single day it gets a little bit more positive, too.
Definitely. It's good to see just over the last week the amount of, you know, humanity and caring and love and support from all aspects of sports, not just the team, the trainers, the coaches, but the fans, the analysts and broadcasters on, you know, ESPN and whatever, making their statements, keeping this in the news all week long and getting us up to the second updates about DeMar and his health. And just, it's the best possible news day in and day out for him right now.
Yep, certainly is, man. The Athletic posted this. The Denver Broncos' brand new ownership group plans to interview Jim Harbaugh for the team's vacant head coaching job. Harbaugh simply wants back into the league, according to the people who know him well. This is an anonymous quote, but the Athletic tweeted it out from Harbaugh Associates' prediction, speaking on the condition of being anonymous here. Quote, he will flat out go to Denver. If he's offered.
What does that mean?
I don't.
Flat out.
That he'll go. He'll just flat out go. I'm going. I'm in. No questions asked.
No hesitation.
Guess not. According to that guy. Or girl. Or whatever.
Does that kind of statement go out to get other teams interested?
All this stuff is, yeah. Harbaugh saying, I expect to be at Michigan. And then an anonymous source comes out that Harbaugh probably told to tell everybody to say he'll flat out go to Denver. And then Sean Payton say there's a 7 out of 10 chance I'm going to stick with Fox. And I'm not leaning one way or the other as far as my favorite teams go or anything like that. You can't believe any of it. You just can't. What does the smoke tell you, though, Angel? We always say where there's smoke, there's fire. What does the smoke tell you right now about who the next head coach is going to be for the Broncos? Reading between the lines, from what we've gathered so far, Sean Payton talking about it on his program the other day or yesterday, Jim Harbaugh having an associate come out and say he'll flat out go to Denver. Is it going to be Harbaugh?
I think it's going to be Harbaugh.
I think it's going to be Harbaugh, too.
From the from the offset, this has been Harbaugh has been connected to Denver since
Elway
even
wanted
he
him.
Said that he wanted to leave.
Elway
Michigan.
Wanted him back when he was with Stanford.
Sean Payton just feels like that's the biggest name out there in terms of a new coach, but there's conditions for that. Harbaugh, sit him down. What's his plan? Here's the offer.
And Harbaugh, short stints, but everywhere he's gone, he has turned it around.
And if he wants to get back in the NFL, I imagine he wants to do it for a long time.
How like, well would he work with Russ? See, and I almost think like these two bizarre personalities would work better than Sean Payton and Russell Wilson.
Sounds like you're asking for Hard Knocks.
Oh, geez. You probably are. Harbaugh, Russ, Walmart. What else am I missing? New stadium talks probably coming in. I mean,
how do you bounce back from a bad season?
Just like, yeah, all the stuff there. There's a lot. Again, Walmart. You get to talk about that. Probably so. If they want to do they get paid to do Hard Knocks? Do the teams get paid?
I'm not sure.
I'm guessing it helps them, though, because it's some kind of way to grow your marketing and merchandising and all that stuff. So it's a good thing. It does feel like it might be Harbaugh at this stage. I don't see them going with a DeMeco Ryans. As much as I might have said, these are all good things to go for. You know, a year ago, I was still very much in the, yeah, I don't mind going after a new coach that's never done it before. I don't mind it. Now I'm kind of like, all right, dude, you can't do this again. You got to go with somebody that's proven.
But what are the odds that another first-year head coach doesn't work out? Maybe not work out in the first
good.
Year. Maybe you get a new coach and he goes 8-8.
That'll be all right.
9-8.
9-8
and you miss the playoffs.
Would be pretty damn nice right now. 9-8 would be great next year.
With a first-year head coach, that gives you enough confidence to move on or to move forward.
I'm ready for those expectations that we had last year, though, to be the expectations this year.
They're already here.
I want them to be. After the game against the freaking Chargers, everyone's like, you know what? That's the team.
Maybe this Russell guy can figure it out.
I've said it all year. I don't think Russ is as bad as we've been making him out to be. I just don't know that he's going to be as good as I want him to be, if that makes any sense.
Was that what we saw the last couple of weeks, the last gasp of air?
Yeah, he could be that guy, but he's going to give you crap for a while. And then suddenly you're going to go, he rolls out to the left. He dodges a would-be sack there. He finds Jerry Jeudy 30 yards downfield. And then suddenly things go open up a little bit because defenses are like, crap, he still has the ability to go deep. Russell still has the arm. He can still go deep. So now suddenly safeties and corners go, we got to be careful here because Jeudy can take the top off the place and Russ can still get it to him. So now we got to play up a little bit better and watch what we're doing. We can't take as many risks. That opens up things. I always say sometimes you got to use the pass to open up the run. And in that case, you saw that yesterday. Eastside Chris, guys, my wife grew up going to all Bills home games through the 60s and 70s. Super Bowl games didn't go well. Much the same we had with the Broncos. She's hoping finally it will happen. I mean, there's no Bills fan alive that if the Bills make it into the Super Bowl, they're not just having nightmares for the full week leading into the Super Bowl. I mean, in the 90s, you went to 4 in a row and lost all 4. When do you start, like, is it Super Bowl III where you're just like, I have no expectations, the third one they went to? I have no expectations there. We're not gonna win this thing. And then you get to the fourth one, it's like, yeah, whatever, here we go again. We're going to be second place.
Like, most teams don't even get to the Super Bowl 4 times. Not alone, you got there and you lost every time.
Which is amazing and depressing all at the same time.
Sure.
Extremely impressive to go to the Super Bowl 4 years in a row. But then to lose all 4 is depressing. To get that close all those times, you'd have 4 of them in a row right there. 38 minutes after the hour. Angel, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
I was trying to think of all the former Georgia Bulldogs that played for the Broncos. This is a pretty good list. A couple guys come top of my mind. Terrell Davis, Champ Bailey, no Sean Moreno. So I've been listening a lot because like Champ Bailey's been talking a lot this week and stuff about Georgia and everything, and even some of his days with the Broncos. And it just got me thinking, man, some of these former Bulldogs served. I mean, Garrison Hurst had a cup of coffee with the Broncos kind of toward the end of his stint there. But Georgia's churning them out, man. A lot of solid players. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. I just don't know where I'm going on this one yet. If I want to take TCU to pull off the upset, or if I just like Georgia to just slaughter TCU. That's where I'm going. If it's going to be a close game, it's going to be because TCU wins it late. But if Georgia wins, I think Georgia controls the whole thing. Yeah, that's my expert opinion. It's either going to be a blowout or a close TCU win. Now I got to pick which one.
To see where the Bulldogs find motivation for this game. Because when you look at the last one last year, they're going against Alabama, a team that had beaten them, you know, in the championship before, in SEC championship games like that. So there was a measure of revenge there. Now you're facing a new, you know, hurdle with defending your title.
Yeah. That's tough.
And yeah, you've been to the national championship before, but you've never had to defend your title in a national championship before. That's different. TCU, they've got nothing to lose.
That's true. I mean, they've had nothing to lose this whole time, and it's served them pretty well. Going in as the underdog, or the underfrog. And,
nice.
And they come in, and they've done it all year. Count it out every single week, and they find a way to do it.
Except week one.
What was week one?
CU.
Ah! And that was like... That was a close game,
it was
dude.
Like, what, 14-9 at half.
Yeah, and then Carl Rell's just like, "Yeah, we're gonna punt it on 4th and 2 from our own 50." And then the very next possession, it's like 4th and 5, and then they go for it and don't get it. I'm like, "What? What are you doing here, man?" I mean, they ended up beating CU 38-13, but it was a close game.
Were those
at the
two
half.
Quarters.
Oh, I was like, wow. CU's right here. Here we go, Carl Durrell. It was 7-6 at halftime, TCU. Wow. Your Colorado Buffaloes were down by 1 point at the half to the TCU Horned Frogs looking to win the national championship tonight.
In week one.
And then you were outscored 10-0 in the third and then 21-7 in the fourth. And then we saw who the real Buffs were for the rest of the season. And that whole game was just weird.
So if it weren't for TCU, you wouldn't have got Coach Sanders.
Probably.
It's funny how life works out.
The Buffs pull that out, and Carl Durrell does the opposite of everything that he did in that game. They probably win that game, and then they have so much confidence, and then they just go on and win a lot of games. And Carl Durrell's the guy. And Deion Sanders is somewhere in Texas. Or somewhere, I don't know. What were his other options? There were a few. Now I'm blanking out. It happened really fast, actually.
It did.
It like escalated quickly.
It was always like CU, but it I can't think like, of who else it was.
Once the rumor started about CU, 24/7 Sports put it out or whatever. Once the rumor started about them, that boom, it was like everything you heard was Deion Sanders coming to Colorado. Like that seemed like that was the first choice from the get-go for him. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. What do we think of the Broncos Chargers getting the win? Doesn't it feel like Broncos country, like, suddenly, it's like you just were given which pill to forget everything that the Matrix dude gets? The red pill or the green pill or the blue pill?
It's like the red pill.
You went back home last night and there's a dude standing at your door and he's like, "Would you like to forget everything leading up to the Chargers game? Just the Chargers game. You can remember that, but would you like to take this pill and forget all of the crap and all of the fun you made, all of the stuff you made fun of Russell Wilson about? And this terrible organization, would you like to take it?" And half of, like, 80% of Broncos country is like, yeah.
What about the, do you throw the Jags game in there?
No, just this Chargers game. Just this. This is the only thing you guys remember. It's just that, so you wake up going, we beat the playoff team 31-28? Okay. We don't really remember what happened the rest of the year. We know we missed the playoffs and somehow we only won 5, but there's probably some weird stuff happening there. And Hackett's a terrible human being and nobody, he doesn't deserve to even be coaching at all ever again. We just forgot all about it, and we're going to look at this. Jerry Roschberg for president.
Let's just take the last three quarters.
That's a really, like, precise pill that you're asking for.
It's a prescription.
I want to go back to the Matrix, man. Plug me back into the Matrix when Russell Wilson was good. That's the Matrix.
Well, if you're in the Matrix, you can make it however you want.
That's true. They can program it to be perfectly. And so when we were watching Russ from Denver in Seattle, they programmed us to see, we made it look like Russ was really good. And that's what they did yesterday. They programmed it. Telling you, man. I'm happy they won. There was no draft picks to gain, so I'm happy they won. I'm just saying. You guys are like, Rosberg, man. He's amazing. Russ turned it all around. He had like 8 yards before that deep one of Jerry Jeudy. I'm a Russ guy. I've defended him all year. I'm just trying to get everybody to level it back out here. Let's level her on back out.
Been on two dates.
Been on two dates.
There's more fish out
Rosberg
there.
Rosberg is 99, man, and he's not been a head coach for whatever reason. I respect him.
But Brady, we have so much fun with him.
Well, then go to Elitch Gardens, man. Go to Six
Before
Flags.
They tear it down.
Go to Six Flags Theme Park in Texas. You won't let you down. It's great.
We'll let you down, then they'll let you back up. Yeah. And down and up. And roller coaster humor.
I like roller coaster humor. I'm just trying to level everybody out. Because you guys, so many people were like, I hate Russell Wilson and his sandwiches, and I hate everything he does. And now we got our boy Tanner, who I love, is like, oh yeah, he's turning it all around next year. What changed? That game against the Chargers. Come on.
Give yourself like 2-3 weeks, and then when the coach gets hired, then you can get on the Super Bowl train again.
Yeah. I'll be there too, don't worry. 49 minutes after the hour, let's wrap up the show on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy and Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
This is Jenny Kavanagh from AT&T Sports Net, your host for the Colorado Rockies. You're listening to the whole show on KFKA. Fire up the fountain.
All right, apparently my texts weren't loading up. Mysterio says, next year, UNC goes above 500, CU wins the Pac-12, and Tanner Schwint still will not be married. That is all. Have a good Monday. Are those your predictions, or are you still... Are those Tanner's predictions? Tanner's going all in on something. I don't know. Dixon said... What did Dixon say? I can't open up the text thing here.
Dixon says, we all know what happens after the third date. Maybe they should just give him some more time.
Give Rosberg some more... Well, that's the thing. You didn't fire him fast.
Well, you don't have enough. There's no more time left.
You could do a mock thing. Hey, let's go out and have a scrimmage against each other this weekend, gang. You didn't fire him enough to see if he had anything, which, again, is on Penner.
If you had got rid of Hackett after Jacksonville...
Yes!
You would have a much
ample
better
time.
Discussion.
Yeah, it's where everybody's like, oh, the ownership group has got it all figured out. Greg Penner knows everything, and he's so smart, and here we go. Well, then the guy that a lot of people want you to interview that I think you're going to interview, you didn't give enough time to because you held on to Hackett knowing you were going to get rid of him. What was the point, Bob?
One more here from Eastside Chris. Guys, it's only Monday. What is wafting through
wafting?
The air thence there? You guys are crazy and bewildering.
Why? Why? Because
we're riding the high of the Broncos win.
I'm trying to level everybody out.
It was the biggest win of 2023 for the Broncos.
It actually was.
It's the only win.
I'm just trying to level everybody out because I defended Russ all year because everybody ripped him apart for airplanes and subways and all that stuff. And now one game and you guys are like, he's going to be the greatest ever in the history of the world and anybody can turn him around. I'm just trying to level you guys out. That's what this show's all about, leveling you out. If you missed any of the program, check out thewholeshow.com, 1310kfka.com for our podcast. Got a new podcast starting up, by the way, that will be available on our website, and I'll announce that tomorrow. Just a podcast only. That'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado. Let's go. TCU wins.